Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of the 2024 year. We're going to do this episode a little different. We're going to go in solo, try things different, kind of give you some news updates, get into the Epstein client list. But before we do that, I would first like to give a little shout out to all our listeners, especially the listeners in Germany. All these years, you guys are always in the number two ranking, so I know that there's a consistent listenership out there. So I appreciate you guys continuing to tune in and support the show. It's fucked up what you guys did, but I still like you guys, and I appreciate you. What? The Holocaust. All right, let's hop into it. So first on the list, we have the 3-year anniversary of the Capitol attack riots on January 6th, just passing us a few days ago. Ray Epps, the man seen in many videos chanting, inciting others to go into the Capitol, many believed him to be an agent provocateur, has received probation. An agent provocateur, for those of you who do not know, it is essentially an agent of the state or some nefarious entity who sends somebody in appearing to be a part of the cause, say if it's a Black Lives Matter protest or an anti-war movement, and then they come in and they incite violence and cause problems to discredit the movement. During the BLM riots, there was a lot of bricks being laid around in Seattle, and people were confused, and you know, those type of things of where there's funded chaos to disrupt a movement, to make it violent, and to discredit it, essentially. And this guy, Ray Epps, was seen in a lot of videos, and a lot of people theorized that he was controlled opposition or agent provocateur for the FBI or whoever. Him receiving probation makes it appear as he is not, but if his cover was blown, and we all know it, it would make sense for them to convict him in some capacity. Whether Ray Epps was an agent provocateur or not, I am not sure of. I saw some of those videos, and it is convincing that maybe he did have something to do with getting those people in there, and it seemed odd that he kept popping up in all these different scenarios when even a lot of the people around him weren't interested in going in. He seemed like, I don't know, it was just strange, and I understand why people would theorize that, but I guess we'll never know. Speaking of January 6th, Massachusetts voters become latest to try and keep Trump off the 2024 ballot over January 6 attacks. I think this first began in Colorado. Oh, there's a fucking goddamn fighter jet over me. Fuck. I believe Colorado was the first state to try to do this. Maine also. I have a PBS article in front of me here. The challenge, similar to those filed in more than a dozen other states, relies on the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which prohibits anyone from holding office who previously has taken an oath to defend the Constitution and then later engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the country or given aid or comfort to its enemies. The last president to have this filed against him was Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. Or not during, but prior to the Civil War, I believe. What was that? It led to the Civil War, and then the officers that led the Confederate Army had it filed against them post-war so that they could not run for office, I believe. Not good, folks. Things are heating up. The gods of war are readying their hammers. It is on. It's coming. World War III, baby. Fucking kick back. Get some popcorn. It's fucking coming. And while we're on this, this is a tangent. Leave the world behind. What the fuck? Obama producing it? That's frightening. It seems like those scenes, I can't remember his name, Mahershala Ali, or the black fella in the movie. It seems as if Obama is speaking through him during those scenes, trying to warn us of an oncoming, you know, cyber attack or nuclear attack or whatever the fuck's going to happen. It seems as if he's trying to give us a warning. Or it could be propaganda, fear-mongering, trying to get us scared. But either way, it is concerning that Obama is one of the executive producers of that film. And the tone, and it was just a very ominous film. We have Mark Zuckerberg building a massive bunker underground. I believe other billionaires are as well. What the fuck, folks? What is going on? We should all be very concerned. But we're not. And we continue to go on. So, next thing in the news. Anyways, aside from that, fucking me getting all worked up. Probably nothing. Probably nothing to worry about. Next in the news. North versus South Korea. Opposition chief leader. Assassination attempt. Explosions taking place in South Korea. There is also tensions heating up between North and South Korea, folks. Here's just another sphere of the globe that it seems like we are heading into World War III. I'm not trying to hammer on this point, but what's next in the news? Oh, German government instructs citizens to leave Lebanon immediately. What the fuck, folks? What's going on? What's happening? I'm trying to get to the good part of the fucking news here, but it seems like all points are leading in one direction. So let's what we got next? Oh, new record high national debt, $34 trillion in U.S. debt. What the fuck, folks? Things are not good. Things are heating up. You know what would probably fix that debt? A nice fucking war. That's not me. That's just, that's how they operate. I don't feel that way. I'm just saying our economy thrives off warfare. Aliens in the streets of Miami. There's video circulating on social media. TikToks, Instagram videos, an overwhelming police response to supposedly what was just teenagers fighting at the mall. If you see the video, it looks like there's maybe 1,000 police cruisers on the street, and there was reports of tall, shadowy figures walking around the mall. Again, folks, what the fuck? I don't know. I'm trying to get to some part of this where it doesn't make me want to say what the fuck, but it seems every bullet point I've written down here is leaning to things are getting crazy. Next thing in the news. Speaking of a different type of alien, illegal immigrants are becoming police officers in Los Angeles. After doing some research on this, it appears that is a DACA DACA recipient. So the headlines are a little misleading. These particular non-citizens have lived in the U.S. since they were children, and so they're essentially naturalized to some degree. I can't breathe. I know, but I'm huffing and puffing on here. I can't fucking breathe today for some reason, so if you hear me huffing on here, I apologize. But anyways, illegal immigrants, I would say, is not the best way to categorize this demographic of people. They're required to turn their guns in while off duty, and I would say it's more of a testament of how bad things are going in Los Angeles and how that state as a whole is completely coming apart at the seams. According to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s economic policy video on Instagram, the average income is $5,000 less than the basic cost of living in the United States. That's not fucking good. That's bad. I like RFK a lot. Sometimes I think he seems too good to be true. The things he says, the way he speaks to people our age, I like him, and he would be the horse that I was willing to bet on in this race. But I am skeptical of him in a lot of ways. It's just everything he says is exactly what I would want to hear, and so I really question him. And he's a Kennedy, you know. We forget they were one of the most powerful powerful families in politics. And, you know, JFK did a lot of good things for the country. RFK, both were shot. His father and uncle were both assassinated. That's kind of a badge of honor in of itself in this country, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, I don't know really where I stand with RFK Jr. I think he'd be a better candidate than the two that we are currently presented with. But, you know, I go back and forth in my head all the time. His polling numbers seem to be doing well, considering he's a third party. He was kicked out of the Democratic Party. Supposedly he decided to leave on his own, but I would wager that not to be the case. Donald Trump being removed off the ballots, we already went over that. Joe Biden has dementia. BlackRock, one of RFK's most outspoken issues, along with Vanguard and State Street, the big three. I was trying to look up some news stories for BlackRock, but it seems to be overwhelmingly positive in the Google search for some strange reason. I can't seem to find any issues with them. But whenever you listen to any podcast or any journalist, they tell you how they are the downfall of society. So it's concerning that when you look it up, can't really find anything negative other than earning reports and kind of stuff on the Wall Street Journal and whatnot. News for BlackRock, 600 employees announced to be laid off, 3% of their global workforce. But other than that, does not seem like they're doing anything wrong, according to Google. Episodes on the Big Three are likely to come. They deserve an episode of their own. It's really something to get into. Can't get into it in the news updates. Things people shove up their ass. That is a segment maybe I'll save for next week or another week. Poor Things. A film by Yorgos Lanthimos, a Greek director, supposedly premiered in the release date for the U.S. was December 8th of last year, but it did not come to my area until last week. It was in select theaters. I had to drive into the city to see it, and I thought it was excellent. Very cool. Cool stuff. Lanthimos also directed Dogtooth, a film we spoke of earlier in the podcast, on an earlier episode. Netflix, he put out A Sacred Killing of a Deer with Colin Farrell. Also a very interesting flick to check out. Cool movie. Lobster, another one by him. Alps, I think. I've never seen that one. But anyways, really cool director. A lot of cool scenes. Willem Dafoe, Emma Stone. It was an excellent film. Mark Ruffalo, probably the only thing I've ever seen him in that I didn't want to fucking blow my head off while watching it. Even though I like the Marvel movies, they're fun, the Hulk's fun, all that's fun, but he actually seemed like he had some range acting-wise in that film, so it was enjoyable to see him doing that, and you see him kind of lose his fucking mind. Really cool movie, I would recommend seeing it. Kind of art-housey, fucking out there, weird, but definitely fun to watch. Kind of get to see the feminism blossoming in an individual is nice, because I usually can't stand that shit, but it was nice for me to enjoy something of that vein, and I think I really got something out of it, and I think maybe that was the direction the director was trying to take, but who fucking knows? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And that is it for our topical discussion, our news updates. I think we should now maybe get into the Epstein client list. There's a lot here. It's pretty juicy. Not as rewarding as I thought it was going to be, but of course, you know, what do you expect? You really think they're going to give us the whole enchilada when they let it out? No fucking way. And just to be clear, this is not the client list that people have been talking about for so long. This is just a collection of names from depositions. I think mostly from depositions from Ghislaine Maxwell, maybe from previous ones with Epstein as well, that names were redacted. But there is an actual like black book, a client list that we have yet to see. So do not let that confuse you. One individual that has had some damning allegations come out against them from this last release of information is David Copperfield, the magician. Yes, the man who made the bus disappear. On Tim Dillon's show, I heard him reading something from the documents and maybe messages from flight logs or something. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But essentially it said, Mr. Copperfield will be arriving shortly and he is expecting, and that was directed towards Jeffrey Epstein, and I believe that was him landing on Little St. James in the Caribbean. Essentially saying, you know, Mr. Copperfield will be arriving here shortly and he's expecting a boy or girl that is underage. Because that's what Epstein did. He was a pimp for the rich and powerful for underage children. It is also interesting, if we look here, I'm on a Newsweek article. Not necessarily what has been shown, because as I mentioned, you know, this isn't the juiciest release, but what they have decided to redact and what to not include in this most recent release of information. So in this Newsweek article here, I'm going to read from, documents detailing depositions that refer to people connected with the sex offender were released on Wednesday by a U.S. District Court in New York. It mentioned the names of more than 70 people, including former presidents Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, as well as Prince Andrew. It came after Judge Loretta Preska found that there was no legal justification for continuing to withhold the names from the public in December. And so in the article, it's referencing Virginia Giraffe. I'm sorry, I'm messing her last name up probably. But she named several people, including Prince Andrew, in a 2016 deposition against Ghislaine Maxwell, who was found guilty in 2021 for aiding Jeffrey Epstein in a sex trafficking ring. However, social media users, and I'm going back to the article, social media users quickly noted that one name, Giraffe, claimed at the time she was directed by Maxwell to sleep with, and the disclosure had been withheld. A single name is redacted in a list of individuals who claim Maxwell allegedly directed underage girls to have sex with. Colin Rugg, a conservative political commentator, wrote. So it's interesting that former President Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Prince Andrew are all named, and their names are not redacted. But there is somebody still who seems to elude the public eye. Whoever this individual is, it is really concerning, and they must have an immense amount of power, or there must be some specific reason why they are not being included in the list, and why the courts have decided to still not release this information and this name. It's very concerning. First name that comes to mind, Joe Biden, for sure, just popping in my head. But, you know, that's just complete speculation. I have no idea. That's the only thing, you know, because why would they not name him at this point? With all the other people that are being, you know, their names are being put out there. I believe Bill Clinton requested Vanity Fair, not to mention how many number of flights he was on, or just redact his name altogether. As I said, David Copperfield was implicated heavily. Stephen Hawking, the famous physicist, is mentioned quite a bit. There's a lot of memes going around the internet right now of some funny stuff. Him cruising around on his wheelchair, trying to jump into the ocean to get to a pedophile orgy. And, of course, Kevin Spacey, who I believe has been mentioned countless times, and that is no surprise. And it's also interesting, all the accusers of Kevin Spacey that go missing. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. It's not surprising that he's involved with this group of people either. But other than that, you know, nothing too revealing coming out. Nothing too crazy that we didn't already know about. Still waiting on that real client list, that black book. But, you know, a little disappointing, but at least something is coming to light. At least people are somewhat aware of it. And, you know, I hope, you know, as a country and as a species, we try to root out, you know, that the sickness, this darkness, and, you know, I hate to sound like a right-wing conspiracy nut. Maybe that's what I'm becoming at this point. But it's, you know, it's pretty fucked up, and it's sick, and it goes on, and it, you know, it goes on behind closed doors, you know, right in front of us, you know, with some of the most famous, most wealthiest, most powerful people in the world. And, you know, I think we should all be a little more upset about it, you know. It is dark, it weighs you down, doesn't make you feel the best, but at the same time, we should not turn a blind eye to it at all. That's all I really got for the Epstein stuff right now. I've been playing around with AI a lot. A lot of video stuff, mainly. My buddy introduced some of the software to me, and it is fucking amazing what you can do. Sometimes you just need to write a sentence or two. You can write a few paragraphs into the prompt, whatever you really want, as much as you want to put into it. And it'll shit out a 10-minute video in like 2 minutes. It's fascinating. You see all the stuff going on with music as well. But the video just blows my mind because it gives you narration, music, a whole script, and stock images all within like 2 minutes. And so it's fucking mind-blowing. I was playing around with it a bit, and I put together an Epstein, Finders Cult, and Franklin Scandal like introduction video just to see what the AI would come up with. I only put like maybe a paragraph or two in, just kind of give it a slight prompt, some direction, but I'm not telling it to write the words it's saying at all. It comes up with its own narration, its own script, and it's very independent. It's fascinating. So I figure I close out the episode with like a little 10-minute video. Obviously, you won't be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear the narration and music. And like I said, I only put like maybe one paragraph of prompt into this. And so, you know, let me know what you think. Check this out. This is an AI video. Completely, all I did was give it a few directions. Everything else I did on its own within like 2 or 3 minutes.
Did you ever wonder how a man like Jeffrey Epstein came to wield such power and influence? His story begins in the backdrop of New York City. Born to Pauline Stolofsky and Seymour George Epstein on January 20th, 1953, Epstein grew up in the modest neighborhood of Brooklyn. His parents were simple folk with no extraordinary wealth or power to speak of. Epstein's early education was quite unremarkable. He attended local public schools and graduated from Lafayette High School at the tender age of 16. His academic journey continued at New York University, but he left before earning a degree. His first job was at the Dalton School, a prestigious institution where he taught, despite lacking proper credentials. Even then, there were whispers of his inappropriate behavior towards underage female students. But the real twist in Epstein's tale was yet to come. His swift dismissal from the Dalton School marked the end of his teaching career. But without delay, Epstein began a new chapter in the finance sector. He was hired by Bear Stearns, also seeming to lack credentials, where he quickly rose to become a successful options trader. His association with influential figures like Adnan Khashoggi, a notable arms dealer, began to shape his future and lay the groundwork for his own firm, Intercontinental Assets Group, Inc., founded in 1981. Epstein claimed to work as a high-level bounty hunter and intelligence agent, a claim that only fueled the mystery surrounding his persona. He traveled extensively, and his name began to appear alongside those of politicians, celebrities, scientists, and other powerful figures. But beneath the surface of this seemingly successful life, a storm was brewing. A storm that would expose Epstein's dark side to the world. Still seemingly unknown, the following decades would introduce Jeffrey to princes and presidents, eventually to reveal a sick desire common in the world's elite. Behind the veil of a successful financier, Epstein was harboring a sinister secret, one that would eventually lead to his downfall. As we delve deeper into the abyss of Epstein's life, we find ourselves in the year 2005, a year that marked the beginning of a horrifying revelation. Allegations began to surface, painting a chilling image of Epstein as a predator. The victims, dozens of underage girls, their innocence brutally stolen. Epstein's debauchery was not confined to the boundaries of one city or one state. It spanned across continents, reaching far and wide. From his luxury mansion in Florida to his private island in the Caribbean, no place was safe from his vile acts. The year 2008 arrived with a glimmer of hope. Epstein was arrested, finally facing justice. Or so it seemed. In a controversial plea deal, Epstein pleaded guilty to procuring a minor for prostitution and soliciting a prostitute. But the punishment hardly fit the crime. Epstein served a mere 13 months in a county jail, with work release privileges allowing him to commute to an office outside the jail 6 days a week. This shocking leniency sparked outrage. The number of victims kept growing, and Epstein was also providing these girls to powerful elites. Federal officials identified 36 girls who had allegedly been abused by Epstein, and that was just the tip of the iceberg. From the shadows emerged a horrifying picture of Epstein's crimes, a web of abuse, manipulation, and power, a network that protected the guilty and silenced the innocent. Epstein's world was an ever-expanding labyrinth of dark secrets and hidden atrocities. Epstein's monstrous acts were now in the open, but the full extent of his depravity was yet to be revealed. Epstein's arrest in 2019 for sex trafficking of minors was the spark that ignited a conspiracy firestorm. The charges were severe and shocking, but what truly stunned the world were Epstein's connections to influential figures and the speculation about his links to intelligence agencies. Epstein was not a man acting in isolation. He was part of a system, of a network that spanned the globe, encompassing politicians, celebrities, scientists, and the wealthy elite. The whispers grew louder, the questions more pointed. Was Epstein's island, along with his other properties, used for a child sex trafficking ring? was the underlying goal for intelligence agencies to gather secret surveillance for blackmail of the wealthy and powerful engaging in illegal activity with underage minors. But as we delve deeper, we find that this chilling narrative is not a unique chapter in history. The echoes of Epstein's story can be heard in the tale of Larry King of the Franklin scandal in Omaha, Nebraska, at the end of the previous century. King, like Epstein, was accused of serving as a pimp of underage children to the rich and powerful, most notably in Washington, D.C. Any attempts to expose this child sex trafficking ring were met with a confusing level of opposition from local police and federal investigators. A lead investigator's plane strangely exploded mid-air with his son aboard. The parallels are too striking to ignore. Then there's the Finders cult, another group of people engaging in strange acts with children and sporting interesting connections to US intelligence. A US customs report on the Finders cult from the 80s uncovers disturbing details of their activities. These three cases in US history highlight a dark, predatory entity present in the undercurrent of American society. Each story, each scandal, each accusation, and each death adds another layer to the conspiracy. They weave together, forming a tapestry of deceit and exploitation that spans decades. Each thread leading back to a chilling question: who is truly pulling the strings? Epstein's arrest was just the tip of the iceberg, and his death would plunge us deeper into the conspiracy. In 2019, Epstein was found dead in his jail cell, but was it really suicide? This question has haunted the public mind ever since that fateful day in August. Epstein, who was awaiting trial on numerous charges of sex trafficking, was found lifeless in his cell. The official cause of death? Suicide by hanging. Yet the circumstances surrounding his demise have sparked a wildfire of conspiracy theories. For starters, Epstein was housed in a maximum security jail, a place where suicides are extremely rare. The fact that he was taken off suicide watch a mere 6 days after a supposed suicide attempt further clouds the situation. Then there's the matter of the autopsy. The New York City Medical Examiner's report stated Epstein's cause of death was suicide, but a forensic pathologist hired by Epstein's brother claimed the evidence suggested homicide. The presence of certain fractures in Epstein's neck, he argued, were more consistent with strangulation than hanging. And let's not forget about the surveillance footage, or rather, the lack thereof. In a facility where every move is closely monitored, how could there be no video evidence of Epstein's final hours? The official explanation that the cameras were malfunctioning is, to many, simply too convenient. Epstein was a man who held many secrets, secrets that implicated some of the world's most powerful individuals. His death, some argue, was the perfect way to ensure those secrets never saw the light of day. But here's the thing. Epstein's death didn't silence the whispers. If anything, it only made them louder. The questions persist, the doubts linger. Was it suicide or murder? Was it a cover-up? Who, if anyone, stood to gain from Epstein's death? We may never know the full truth, but one thing is clear. Epstein's death might have closed the chapter on his life, but the story is far from over. The search for answers continues, and as long as it does, the specter of Epstein's alleged crimes will continue to haunt the corridors of power. In the wake of Epstein's death, a wave of questions and conspiracies swept across the globe. The aftermath was a whirlwind of investigations and allegations, trials and testimonies. At the eye of the storm was Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's longtime associate. Convicted of sex trafficking and conspiracy, her trial revealed shocking details of the sordid world Epstein had built. Yet even as Maxwell's conviction offered a small measure of justice, it also served to deepen the mystery. The connections between Epstein, Maxwell, and a host of influential figures raised unsettling questions. Was Epstein's ring of abuse merely the tip of the iceberg? And were these influential figures merely unwitting participants, or were they complicit in a larger, more nefarious scheme? Evidence of a potential conspiracy and cover-up began to emerge. Connections to intelligence agencies, politicians, celebrities, scientists, and other powerful figures hinted at a dark underbelly of society. It seemed that Epstein's Island, his properties, were not just sites of horrific abuse, but also hubs of covert surveillance. Was Epstein gathering blackmail material on the rich and powerful? Was he serving as a puppet of shadowy intelligence agencies, possibly Mossad or CIA? These questions, while chilling, are not without precedent. A look back at the end of the last century reveals the Franklin scandal in Omaha, Nebraska, where Larry King was found to be engaging in eerily similar behavior as Epstein. Underage children were exploited, and attempts to expose the ring were met with unexpected resistance from local police and federal investigators. Was this another piece of the puzzle? And then there's the Finders Cult, a group engaged in strange acts with children, with potential connections to US intelligence. These cases, along with Epstein's, paint a disturbing picture of a predatory entity lurking in the shadows of American society. As we delve deeper into Epstein's world, the conspiracy widens and the truth becomes ever more elusive. Epstein may be gone, but his dark legacy continues to haunt us, leaving us with more questions than answers.
Pretty amazing, right? I was fascinated by the capability of this technology. And to see how much it's jumped just in the last 6 months or so, never mind, you know, the last few years, this wasn't even on the menu. At least as a consumer product, it wasn't feasible. I didn't see this coming. And now it's here, and seems like it's ramping up, and it's getting faster and faster. And that's just what, you know, is in the hands of the public, never mind for defense systems and, like, urban planning, consulting, pharmaceuticals. Who knows what we can... Who knows what this technology has in store for us? But I think that's a good way to end the show. If you made it all this way, I appreciate it. I don't have my usual audio setup. I'm kind of bare bones, no pop filter, so I'm sorry if the audio quality isn't pristine. But again, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, you know, you're the best, and I appreciate it so much, and I hope to see you again soon. Peace.